All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. We've seen now the Lord's creation of the heaven and the earth, and how that He formed and wrought all the creatures, including man. And the scriptures now bring us to the fall of Adam. And the fall of Adam is the fall of man. It's the fall of you and me. If you've ever wondered why there are endless wars and destruction, why there is so much crime and hatred and injustice and misunderstandings and differences, why there's so many, we're so plagued with various illnesses and sicknesses, some mental, some physical, and we're just troubled and sick and dying and dead. Why there's so many religions, so many ways that man goes in darkness. Why is there all this death and misery and sorrow? Well, this chapter tells us why. Tells us why. The fall of Adam is our fall in Adam. When the Apostle Paul wrote that verse in Romans 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Paul was referring to the fall of Adam. He was writing about what is contained here and revealed and given to us by our Lord in this chapter here of Scripture. Now, the natural man in religion may acknowledge the fall. Men acknowledge the fall of man. But when we would turn men to the flesh, and when we would speak of salvation and what we do as something we do to earn God's favor, to get ourselves saved, to be born again, to make a decision for the Lord, when we speak of salvation in that way, we're betraying the fact that we don't understand the fall. We don't know what we're talking about. We have no understanding of the gospel and the death of Adam and our death in Adam and our partaking of the rebellion and the enmity that we have against God. We have no understanding of just how wicked and evil we are by nature, how corrupt and deceitful and deceived we are, and how willing we listen to the voice of the serpent. We, if we can speak of what we must do for the Lord, then we don't have an understanding of this fall. And for this cause, men have said, and it's a true statement and a good way to remember it: wrong on the fall, wrong on it all. If you don't know the fall, you are going to hear the gospel, understand the gospel, and preach the gospel to others wrong. All wrong. All full of sin and darkness and death. It doesn't lead to life. It may sound good and sound religious, but it's nothing but death and can do man no good. It's another gospel. It's another gospel. Now, the Lord makes us, He brings us here, He makes us to know our sin, not because we can correct it. I've heard men say, whether I've read it in print or heard someone say, that, well, He gave us the law because we can keep it. He wouldn't have given the law if you couldn't keep it. Lie. That's not true. And the scriptures tell us exactly why God gave the law to man. It's to show us our sin. It's to make us see what the scriptures see, which is that we are all sinners. And it goes right on back here to the fall. But God has a gracious purpose in it. It's not just to humble us and humiliate us. It's not just to put our face in the dust, though that's where he brings every one of us in mercy, in grace. It's for our good. It's for our good. It's because God has a purpose to be gracious to his child in Christ. Do you know that the scriptures teach that before the fall, God made provision for your salvation? God was gracious to you before we ever fell in Adam. That's why the scriptures in Revelation 13:8, they call Christ the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, he was already purposed and determined and agreed to be our Redeemer, to be the salvation of his people, to make right everything we ruined in Adam, in this fall, by our works, by our wickedness. And all whom the Father would save, we're told that he gave them to Christ. He put them, gave them, put them into the care of Christ, the scripture saying, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, meaning Christ reconciled and redeemed all his people and restored everything we lost, everything we ruined and destroyed by our sin and works. Christ made right and makes right and shall do that which is right and beautiful and glorious. And you that are his shall see with your eyes. You shall be raised from the dead and behold the works, the redemption, the love, the power, the glory of your Savior. The fall. The start here, we're introduced to the serpent in Genesis 3:1. Let's look there. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, first of all, this title of the serpent is carried throughout all of Scripture. It's found in the beginning here in Genesis 3, and it carries all the way into Revelation. One of the verses in Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He's a deceiver, a liar, a murderer, deceives the whole world. Today in popular culture, for whatever the reason is, today more than ever, there seems to be this attempt to present the evil one in some positive light. That's all I want to say about it. In some positive light. Don't believe it. Don't give ear to it. Don't entertain it. He is a liar and a deceiver. And he deceiveth the whole world. And he purposes to destroy all who will give him an ear. Our Lord tells us he was a murderer from the beginning. Right here. He was a murderer from the beginning. What he did was to destroy Adam and Eve. It was to destroy Adam and all in Adam. He murdered them. He deceived them. Got them to eat that fruit which God said, you shall surely die. That's why he did it. To murder them. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There's nothing positive, nothing, no light, nothing good in this one. He is evil and a liar and a murderer. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He knew this was false. He was there. He was there when the creatures were created. He was there when the Lord told Adam not to eat of this, what he could eat, and of these trees. He was there. But he engaged the woman, feigning this ignorance, pretending to not know what God had said, and desiring to be taught by Eve. And I would imagine this would have set Eve at ease. I mean, here she is talking with a creature that has no business speaking. It has no voice that we understand it. It's a lie. And so this sets her at ease and maybe gave her some confidence because she thought, I know this. I know the answer to this. Adam told me. I know the answer to this. And so in Genesis 3, 2 and 3, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, is that what the Lord said? The way she said it back to the serpent, is that what the Lord said? Look back in Genesis 2. Look at Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Right? You see, freely. You may freely eat of every tree of the garden. And when Eve said it, it's kind of subdued. It's downplayed. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. We can eat of them. God also said in verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But he said, neither shall ye touch it. And the danger there is if you're walking under the tree and it bumps your head and you don't die, you then question, huh, maybe it isn't what the Lord said it is. Maybe it is okay to eat it. I touched it and I didn't die. So the Lord didn't say, don't even touch it, because then there's a slip, there's a crack there. And then the other thing she said is, lest ye die. And that word lest means peradventure. Maybe. You might die. You might die. That's not what the Lord said. He said, you shall surely die. You shall surely die. Now verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Maybe at this time, you know, we don't know where Adam was. We know at some point he appears there, but I would imagine if Adam was there, he would have done the speaking. But here the serpent is with the woman, and perhaps at this point he produces that fruit. I'm touching it. You shall not surely die. And he brings it forth, and maybe they're moving toward that tree, toward the midst of the garden. And here the serpent calls God a liar. Just outright says he's the liar. And he makes him out to be the deceitful one. He's hiding something from you guys. He's keeping something back for himself. He's not as giving as you think he is. For God doth know, verse 5, that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now the implication here is, you do what you do because your nature is good. That's all you know. And all you can do is your nature. You have no choice in the matter. But if you eat this fruit, now you'll know the difference between good and evil, and you can choose to do good. With your free will, you can choose to do the good like God does. You won't do that evil. You don't have to worry about that, because you'll know good and evil, and you'll do what is good. But the reality is, it was alive. They died spiritually. And their nature was defiled, corrupt, dead. Spiritually dead, so that they cannot do that which is good. All they can do is that which is their nature to do. And we see it. As we go through this, we begin to see what that death looks like. And what they do right away, automatically, as part of their dead, corrupt nature. But before we get there, verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat." And we see our own, we see that in us. We see that in us. John writes of it in this way, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh." This is good for me. I want this. This would be good for me to have. "The lust of the eyes. This will look good to others. I'll appear as one beautiful in their sight and worthy of their praise. And the pride of life." And he says, it's not of the Father, but it is of the world. 1 John 2:16. It's of the world. And so she ate, and we don't read of anything happening yet. Nothing seems to happen. "And she gave also unto her husband." So at some point, Adam is there, and she gives to Adam, and he did eat. Now, once Adam ate, that's when the death occurs, because God is showing us that he deals with us all in one of two men. Either in Adam the first, where we come in our works, "I know the difference between good and evil, Lord, and I'll do what I think is right. And that's how you'll receive me." That's coming in Adam, in the works of the flesh. "And you shall receive that which is just, your just due for your works, which is eternal death." Or he receives us in Christ, the last Adam, the last Adam. And that's coming to the Lord with no hope or confidence in self and in your works. "Lord, don't look at my works. Don't even look at my good works, because they're filthy rags. Lord, all my hope is the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness, whom you sent graciously. Not because of anything good in me, but because you are good and gracious and kind and gentle. And you sent him, and he laid down his life for me and loved me and did all this for me. Lord, receive me in him." And that's how the Lord's people, Lord Jesus Christ, that's how his people come, in him, trusting his righteousness. It's that simple. We trust him. We believe that he is perfect and righteous, and that's how we come. And that's how we ask, "Lord, receive me there. I don't want to be received in my dead works in the first Adam." So once Adam ate, we read in verse 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked." Now the last verse of chapter 2, just before we get here, says that they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. That's because they had nothing to hide. But now the corruption of sin spread through their minds immediately, and they died, and they knew, "I'm naked. I'm ashamed. I'm all exposed. I've got no covering for my nakedness." And so the very first thing they did was they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They immediately set to working by their own flesh, their own wisdom, to make a covering to hide what they had done before the Lord. They tried to hide it from the Lord. They tried to cover their nakedness. Verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." a gentle, calm period of the day. The cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, the voice of the Lord is none other than the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they feared God, not in the humble sense in which you reverence the Lord. You love the Lord. You know He's all salvation. He's everything to me. That's a good fear. That's a love. That's a love that honors Him, respects Him, and willingly looks to Him for all things. But they had that fear of God, which is a slavish fear. And they thought, He's come to get me. He's going to punish me. Let me hide myself from His presence. They sought a refuge from the presence of God. And so we see the workings of death that came immediately. It wasn't gradual. It wasn't over time. The enmity that's in us is the exact enmity that was in them, and we inherited that same thing. That same corruption and death and slavish fear and bitter adherence to it is what we are by nature when we come to God in the flesh. That's all that we are. And so they became self-righteous in their deeds, and God was immediately their enemy, one whom they feared would destroy them and punish them. And so they hide themselves where? In darkness, under the shadow of the trees of the garden. They ran for cover out of the sight of God. But right here in verse 9, we actually see the grace of God. We begin to see the experience of grace for every child of God. God came when He came, and we see right from the very, very, very beginning, without man and woman doing anything, while they were yet sinners, running the other way from the Lord, we see the grace of God immediately. Immediately. Look at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam. And He said, Adam, where art thou? He called unto Adam. That's exactly how we are brought. In grace and kindness, the Lord comes and calls you His child. Where are you? Come. And He draws you. He calls you to Himself. I'm hiding out in the shadows. I'm hiding out in darkness. I'm running from the Lord. And He comes and calls to you, His child. Come to me. He brings you. He draws you to Himself in grace. If God had not called Adam, Adam would never have come. He didn't turn around until the Lord called him. And then He came. And that's how it is. Not one of us. There's none that seeketh after God. Right? That's what the scripture said. There's none that seeketh after God. None of us is good. None of us repented. None of us sought Him first. God sought you, His child, first. That's grace. So God called unto Adam. Otherwise, Adam would just have gone his own way, doing his own thing, and that would have been that. That would have been the end of it. We see here what the scriptures say in John 3, verse 20 and 21, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. What Adam and Eve did was evil, and they hated the light, the presence of God. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. That's why Adam ran. He did not want to be brought to account. So he ran for darkness, the cover of darkness. But he that doeth truth, in whom the Lord works, light gives life, and is gracious to and draws you to Himself, they cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God does it. God brings forth life and the fruit of the Spirit in His children, that there's life there. There's life. He does that. So God now charges each one with their sin, and he pronounces their judgment. Let's look at verses 10 through 19. Adam and Eve, they come before God, and Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. This is after God called him. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Right, that's where we are by nature. I'm naked, I'm made to know my sin, and I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I have to think of those men in the ship in John 6 when they saw Christ walking on the water coming toward them, and they were afraid. And that's how we are by nature until he reveals his grace and love in us. And God said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And it's not that God doesn't know. The Lord knows exactly what happened. He purposed it. He's doing all things well. He's revealing it to his child, what they've done. He's making them to know, I'm the sinner. I'm the sinner. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. There it is. Adam has turned victim. It's her fault and it's your fault for giving her to me. You did this. And the Lord said unto the woman, I just love the wisdom of the Lord. He just goes right on down the line and then he'll work his way right back up the line there. He goes right on down to the woman. What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. She's a fast learner. She saw what Adam did and said, sounds good. The serpent deceived me. He beguiled me and I did eat. He gave me this fruit and I ate because of him. And the Lord said unto the serpent. Notice that he does not question. There's nothing to ask. He knows he's evil. He's already judged. He's already condemned. And so he doesn't ask the serpent anything. He says to the serpent, because thou hast done this. You know, if God doesn't give any ear to him, we ought not either. May God help us to not hear the voice of the serpent. By his grace, may we not listen. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now here is the preaching of the gospel. We know verses 1 and 2 because God told Adam, and Adam told his sons, his children. That's why we know what happened, and God revealed that to Moses. And I believe Adam knew the gospel in that sense, because when we looked at it, we saw Christ. We saw the gospel. But now, for the first time, Adam and Eve are hearing the Lord declare the gospel when they're vitally interested in it. Now they are experiencing that gospel. It's like Job who said, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now this is coming alive to them. Now they have an interest. They're the sinner. And now this gospel is precious, is precious. And so they're hearing what the Lord says about the destruction of the serpent. He says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know, the Lord makes it clear. When Christ came in the flesh, he was not born of the seed of Adam, which is corrupt. The seed of Adam is corrupt. It's defiled. He's born by the overshadowing with the seed of woman. That's where his flesh is from. But the corruption is passed through the man's seed. And so the Holy Spirit overshadowed. We're all sinners, men and women alike, because we're all born of Adam's seed. But Christ is not born of Adam's seed. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And conceived in her womb that holy thing, the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed, blessed Redeemer. And he's going to destroy the devil and destroy his works, the works of the devil and what he did. And he's going to reconcile and redeem every sin, every fault, every destruction that Adam did in partaking of that fruit and eating that fruit in rebellion against God. Christ redeemed the whole of it. And let me just say before we go on, we don't say, like Adam and Eve said, the devil made me do it. No, you did it. I did it. I'm the sinner. I'm the sinner. I'm responsible for my sin. And thanks be to God that Christ came and took up that which I owed and the curse I was under and bore my curse and paid my debt and died my death willingly as the Lamb of God to put away my sin and the sin of you, my brethren, and the sin of all his children, whom he draws to himself and reveals himself to, washing them in his blood and comforting them and blessing them in this gospel by his grace and mercy. So he says, my son is going to crush your head. You'll bruise his heel. It'll be a painful, sorrowful death which he bears himself for his people, but he will destroy you and make all things new again. All things new again. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Now he's working his way back up. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And the most likely interpretation of that is that the woman, right, one is that she will be ruled by her husband, and the other is that the woman will seek to rule over her husband. Right? And we see those where the woman's telling the husband what to do and what he did wrong and things like that. Her desire is to rule over him, but the Lord says he will rule over you. And now, because of sin and corruption in his flesh, we see this battle and arguing, and we see corruptions in it. Men not loving their wives as they are instructed to love them, and wives not honoring their husbands as they are instructed, and there's fighting in the flesh, in this sin. But we see how the Lord blesses husbands and wives in him. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so we see there a picture of what this flesh is. It's corrupt. Just like the dust that we till brings forth weeds, thorns, and thistles. I actually have in my finger still, I was doing a little cleanup in the garden before the nice weather comes, and I saw a plant and I just picked it up and pulled it out and escaped any injury. But when I picked it back up again, I had one of the thorns, one of those things I pulled up happened to be those things that grow thorns in them. And I pulled out the thorn, but it got stuck. A reminder of the curse of this flesh. And like the dust of the ground puts up thorns and thistles, that's what the Lord tells us. That's all we produce by this flesh. Thorns and thistles and bramble bushes, cursed things. That doesn't bring forth grapes or figs on cursed things. We don't bring forth good works. The Spirit brings forth fruit that is profitable to our brethren. And so he goes on this chapter. Well, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's what he's saying there. And it'll be a toil and a labor that we might know our sin. By the grace of God, he brings us under the law, or to show us in the scriptures that we're all sinners, that we would hear the promise by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would hope in him and know him and come to the Lord in him, not in our fig leaf religion and running from the Lord, playing games. Now, this chapter closes with a few more details and a picture of the gospel, a further picture of the gospel. It says in verse 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And it's Adam and Eve. We all come forth from Adam's corrupt seed by the flesh. And unto Adam, we read, unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Here is the gospel. Adam and Eve, there was no death. If you notice, everything that Adam ate was grains and fruits, right? Vegetables, what he grew of the ground. There was no meat eaten at the time. Later on, after the flood, the Lord says, you may eat, right? And he tells Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. You can eat. It was animals in there, all manner of beasts and animals. We eat meat now. We may eat meat. Nothing wrong with that at all. But back then, all Adam ate was grains and fruits and vegetables. And so here, the Lord comes and slays before their eyes. No lion. It even says that the lions, that their nature was not to eat meat until after the fall. That's when they began to eat meat. So they see the Lord slay an animal for each of them, for their sin. I think it was a lamb. I would imagine it was a sheep. Whichever animal it was good and right. And they saw the Lord slay a beast for each one of them. And the horror of that. I remember I had a chicken. I didn't want a rooster, and I didn't want a rooster yet, so I slayed that rooster and watched the blood fall out of its neck. You know, it's violent, it's bloody, it's gory, and they saw that for the first time. The horror. This is what my sin did. Require the death of that animal. And the Lord took the skins, he prepared the skins before them, and then the Lord clothed them with those skins. You see, one in that, the Lord did everything. He didn't instruct Adam, he didn't tell Adam how to do it. Now you do this, now take this here. None of that. The Lord did the whole thing. He didn't even hand them the clothes and say, now put these on. No, no. He clothed Adam. Right? That's what it says there. The Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. He put them on them. And that's exactly what the Lord does through the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, the Lamb of God, and was slain for our sins. You that are his. For your sins, he was put to death. And the coat of his righteousness is put upon you by the Lord. Putting that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ on you. And your nakedness is now covered. You have no shame. You stand before God, accepted and received by him. Verse 22 and 24. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So the Lord did this so that Adam, in his death, could not reach forth his own hand and take of the tree of life, that fruit, and live forever in that fallen, dead, spiritually dead state, and live forever. So he sent him out that God would be gracious to whom he would be gracious, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come and redeem all that was lost, and save his people, and bring them to himself, so that as Eve was the wife of the first Adam, and she was bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh, the Lord sent Adam away, that he would be gracious, as he promised there in the garden, when he spoke of Christ, who would come, and he would restore and provide life. He is the life of his people, and now we are delivered from that death and darkness and sorrow and ruin, and are made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We, the church, are the bride of Christ. And so that's why the Lord did that. And so God declares to us our fallen Adam here, making us to see what sinners we are, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. It's all beautiful. It's all the grace of God. And I thank him for it. I thank him for it, and I know you do too.